welcome to GameSpot presents the Hotspot
for Tuesday.
I am your messed up and cursed.
Oh, that's the double whammy, Magrino.
We're off to a good start here, as Tom Magrino. Right. Not only are you stepping on the host duties here, when you're on the panel, but you are swearing right off the bat.
Are we? We're 10 seconds in. We're less than 10 seconds.
Rich Gallup would not be proud of you.
Yeah.
Deeply, deeply ashamed.
I can't even hear myself right now. Am I on? Is the mic on?
Do I need to turn your personal volume up?
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Now I'm yelling into my own ears.
Oh, tremendous start to the post-Labor Day hotspot.
Yeah.
So, Magrino didn't really have a weekend on account of the Penny Arcade Expo, which we will get to in a few seconds, along with a whole bunch of other stuff. Kevin Van Ord?
I had a nice long weekend. Thank you for asking.
Very relaxing.
Yeah.
Jerk.
Made some snickerdoodles for the office.
I did. I've been on this baking spree.
I give the snickerdoodles 2 thumbs up.
Yay.
Full disclosure, I work with Kevin. My opinion cannot really be trusted.
Right. You're being subjective.
If it's any consolation, I also like the snickerdoodle.
That's much consolation?
And
I'm sure that's the right
that's
word.
That's probably not the right
you're
word.
You're going to have to look that word up.
I'm consoled.
Tom McShay, do you have a better word for us?
Oh, God. I didn't know that's what you're going to ask me.
So much pressure.
And Chris Waters.
The answer is no, apparently, from Tom.
Yeah.
He's got nothing. Hi, Brendan.
Completely flummoxed. Okay. Flummoxed is the right word.
Yes.
That is a fine word.
I'm like messing around with the volume. No, I can't stop. On my personal headphones.
Sounds like
I bet you
could
stop
lot of fun.
Talking about it.
So, Magrino, you're slap happy from PAX.
Right. I could use a nap.
Now seems like the best time to grill you for details.
Yes.
And tell us all about everything that went down there, specifically Duke Nukem Forever.
So I'm not sure if any of you all were aware or not, but the number one trending topic over the weekend for a good 30 hours starting Friday was Duke Nukem Forever on,
is this on
Twitter.
Twitter.
Yes, on Twitter. I'm sorry, there was a vital word left out of that. But Gearbox is technically, well, it's really hard to say whether Gearbox is actually making Duke Nukem Forever, because I went to a panel Sunday night, I guess it was more Sunday afternoon, where with Gearbox, and, you know, he basically, or Randy Pitchford, who's the CEO of Gearbox.
We'll just call him Gearbox.
Not Rearbox. Sorry about that. It probably doesn't need to be bleeped. Anyway, he was like, basically, after, you know, last year there was this giant explosion at 3D Realms where the studio went under, and all of a sudden there were all these lawsuits being thrown about. And he's like, after the dust kind of settled on all of that, a group of, you know, Duke Nukem Forever developers continued to work on the game, and eventually he got wind of it, and he's like, you know what, I started my career at 3D Realms, I'm in a position to help you guys, so I'm just going to go ahead and buy this IP, which he did, and brought on the people who had continued to work on, you know, Duke Nukem Forever after 3D Realms exploded. And, you know, that includes people like Alan Blum, who's been with the franchise from the beginning. And then he just kind of, like, set them up on their own floor in Gearbox's building and hired some more people to help them finish the game. And, yeah, it's coming out. 2011, 360, PS3, PC. I don't know.
Supposedly.
Yeah,
that
was the thing he said. He's like, I realize that none of you are actually going to believe me until this game is on retail shelves and you can buy it. But all indications seem to appear that this game is actually going to come out. It was out on the PAX show floor. I did not personally get a chance to play it, mostly because lines for that game were in excess of 4 hours long. Which seems a little excessive.
Ye gads.
Yeah.
So this game's been in development since 1997.
Right, 13 years.
Some of our listeners are younger than this game.
Sorry for cursing earlier.
That wasn't what I was getting at. Thank you, though.
Right.
Your apologies. Appreciate it.
All those pedophile jokes I made a few weeks ago, those stand. Profanity.
Gotta stand by something.
Right.
Way to class it up.
Right.
So, does anyone in this room expect Duke Nukem Forever to live up to I don't even know if you can call it the hype at this point.
Yeah.
No, absolutely not.
What are the I don't think the expectations are like
if I get
preposterously high, are they?
You say that, but Tom, what was the atmosphere like at PAX? The show floor, the lines for Duke Nukem Forever to get hands on.
Yeah, I mean, people were just stunned. It was more of just like, what? Really? This game is. I mean, you're actually going to give it to us?
It's like standing in line to pet a unicorn.
Right.
Of course people are going to line up.
Yeah, even if it's a smelly unicorn, you still want to be like, I touched a smelly unicorn.
I touched
a
yeah. Yeah.
So no one can take that away from you.
People will stand in line to pet a unicorn, but they won't pay $60 to buy a unicorn?
Well, that depends on whether or not a unicorn comes to retail shelves, which...
This analogy is busted.
Right.
I don't think people expect this to be the best shooter. Like, I don't think that's the expectations. It's not like, oh, 13 years in development, it must be... 5 times better than Halo 2. Like it's not the kind of logic.
But if it comes out and it's just kind of like, eh.
Well, I expect it to be better than eh. I think it'll be a really fun game.
I think it'll be. And I mean, I'm kind of thinking of it in the same terms that I was thinking of Matt Hazard, where it's just kind of got a ridiculous sense of humor. It's an okay shooter.
Hopefully, a better shooter.
Right. Hopefully, a better shooter.
But yeah, I mean,
kind of fun and
7.5, 8.0.
Well,
I mean, I'm not going to put
a predicting
score
it right
in.
Now. 7.5, 8.0.
Kind of fun isn't really an 8.
Oh, my
not
God.
Nine. It's kind of fun.
Well, I haven't even played
eight.
This game.
You got a room full of reviewers here, Tom.
I know.
Watch yourself.
I just... I will bet you this can of soda, which I will hang on to with its contents, when this game comes out, you can win it if it gets a 7.5, 8.0.
As much as I would love to.
No, no, no.
I just predicted it right now.
Because Chris might be reviewing this for us. And it would, you know, kind of damage his impression.
And I'm
going
to change the score just so I don't have to dispose of your warm pan of soda.
It would actually be pretty moldy and disgusting.
Yeah,
at that
it would
point.
Be gross.
But 7.5, 8.0 is what I'm saying.
I agree with Tom McShay.
We're in agreement, Magrino and I. Why'd you have to do that?
I just wanted to give him a little slap on the cheek.
Brendan's the one with the crazy expectations.
Yeah.
I just think after so long and so much talk about it, people are going to have expectations for it to be something monumental.
Mm. Oh, God, I think it's the exact opposite.
Monumental?
I think after it was already canceled and has gone through development hell, people are just going to be shocked if it runs.
Yeah. I mean, this is like when you're at the Olympics and someone has just run the marathon and like their legs have given out and they're like just crawling the last few meters to the finish line.
This
people
like
are
this
just going to be like clapping and being
just,
like, all right,
I
come on.
It.
You just want them to make it without
you just
pooing
want
themselves.
To make it without pooing themselves.
That's it.
And you're going to be in there. You're going to be in there, and you're just going to be kind of helping them limp along, you know?
I don't really want to help them if they...
And not poo themselves.
If they're incontinent, I don't want to help
right.
them.
I would. It's Duke Nukem. How could you not help Duke Nukem when he's incontinent?
So all of us have reasonable expectations except for Brendan, basically, who thinks this is going to be the best game ever.
No.
It's going to be, quote, monumental.
I don't.
It's going to be monumental. Brendan Sinclair, monumental.
I think if you ask people as individuals what are your expectations for this, they're probably not going to say best game ever. But at the same time, as much as they've heard about this game in the last 13 years, 14 by the time this comes out, they will have expectations of it to be something noteworthy.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be forgettable.
It'll be noteworthy in that.
I think it'll have at least something interesting. I know the first level alone is interesting, so that's something.
I kind of feel like it's already noteworthy.
Yeah,
and
it's already
just,
noteworthy.
It's achieved it'll achieve noteworthiness just
right.
by finishing and being a good
game.
The
game itself won't be deserving of it. It'll my expectation of something like the last Wolfenstein game that came out.
Whoa!
It's like, okay, that's a first-person shooter, and it does a few things, and
it's a good game.
It's not a bad game, but I mean, it's something that'll be quickly forgotten and not
see,
really
I think Duke will have enough moments in it where you'll still remember it, even if the whole game isn't super amazing. It'll be like, oh, I remember. Do you remember that part where you did this? And
do you remember
like,
that
yeah, I
remember part
that.
Where he said that line from that movie that you liked better?
Yes. Well, it's good. I think it'll have some cool set pieces. That's what I'm talking about. Like Wolfenstein, you know. Like
Wolfenstein
it was
some neat set pieces, yeah.
But it's a game that people don't really remember. Like, you can't really call out stuff for the most part. It doesn't have any, like, iconic moments.
And, well,
I think Duke will at least have something in it that's memorable.
The other thing worth noting is that this is, you know, Gearbox owns the IP now. So this is just going to be the first in a line of Duke Nukem games that they make.
Yearly Duke Nukem games.
Maybe not yearly, but this isn't the last Duke Nukem.
Yeah.
So
I hope they keep the focus on Borderlands instead.
Well, yeah, I mean, the other cool thing about the panel that I went to is they talked about Borderlands, which has that, you know, ostensibly its last DLC coming out later this month, and then they talked about the Brothers in Arms franchise, which they said, you know, they haven't given up on, and you know,
it's
they
just
might
a ceasefire.
Right. I mean, it's more like they have a game in development. They're not ready to talk about it. It might go in a direction different than what has been seen in the past.
Oh my God, it's Modern Warfare, isn't it?
Yes, it's
a
Modern
mini
Warfare
game collection.
I don't know.
Minigame, yes.
They talked about Aliens, Colonial Marines, and that was actually really interesting, too, because they were like, you know, we have a game in development called Aliens, Colonial Marines. Yeah, it's Colonial Marines?
Yes.
And, you know, there's a lot of fingers in the pie. You got 20th Century Fox and and
I don't
want to
eat that pie.
Yeah. Is that the expression?
One finger is too many. I think you're talking about fingers in the pot of soup.
Okay.
That's
which
still,
is equally bad, but at least it's hot, so you can boil away the bacteria.
Yeah, yeah.
God, that's like something from the end of the old country.
No, it's too
buffet.
Many. It's right. Too many cooks spoil the broth.
Wow.
Anyway,
I never heard that one, Kevin.
Also in production.
Pull ourselves out of that rabbit
yeah,
hole, please.
And the funny thing about that was, like, he was like, so we can't really show you anything, and he, like, immediately proceeded to open up a file on his computer and, like, quickly click through a bunch of screenshots that they have. And that game looks pretty cool. And then he immediately closed it again. So yeah, they have a ton of other stuff in development. I don't know how Duke Nukem. Well, the other thing also is like they basically hired a new team by picking up all these 3D Realms yeah. developers and then adding or augmenting that team with a few new hires. So you know, it's possible that they'll be coming out with these. Probably not every year, but at least you know every couple years.
I don't know if we need that much Duke Nukem.
Yeah.
Well, but they become a major developer, like, kind of.
I know. That was.
Boom.
Well, that was the weird thing, because last year was the first year that Gearbox was at PAX, and, you know, I went to that panel also, and it was like, you know, they got it all these Domino's pizzas, and they were just, like, trying to bribe people to come in, and Mikey Newman, their creative director, is like, yeah, we will resort to bribing people to come to our panel. And
what, Domino's?
Cheap pizza, I mean.
I think we all know what
the rich.
Real. The real turning point for Gearbox was, Samba de Amigo on the Wii.
Right.
It's like, once you make that, people
you need
know
to,
you're going
places. You need to take a hard look at yourself and then decide, where have I gone wrong?
Right.
Let's launch this company
scrap
in a new
direction. Scrap the rhythm genre, only do shooters.
But yeah, after PAX last year, like, it was in this tiny little conference room. They didn't even fill it. But they shut off Borderlands, and everybody in the room was like, wow, this Borderlands, where the hell did this come from? Pretty cool. And this year, they had, like, one of the big... They were in the same room that Bungie's Halo Reach panel was in, and, you know, they filled that. And they still brought out, like, Domino's pieces, and they completely ran out. But, you know, it was awesome. Like, Gearbox is, like, a legitimately big-time developer now, it seems like.
If they get really big, next year it'll be Papa John's. You wait.
Well, it's kind of a tradition now. You gotta get the pizza on the market.
Well, then you get Little Caesars.
Whoa, oh. $5 pies.
Yeah. I mean, have you seen the counter?
That's not a good selling point,
the
is
counter
it?
No,
but it's cheap. How is it that? Come on.
And when you call them pies, I just keep thinking of fingers being on them.
Like, Domino's has been, like, admitting that their pizza is terrible.
That's
for
what
the
their
last...
ad campaign is. It's like, yeah. We listen.
We're
going to try to be better.
Our pizza is pathetically bad. But we're going to make commercials touting the fact that our pizza is terrible.
No, but that's not what the commercials
take
say.
Take a picture of your terrible pizza.
No!
Send it in.
You're completely
Are you
it.
Legitimately defending Domino's pizza right now?
No, I'm legitimately telling you that you're completely misunderstanding the ad campaign, which
is that
our
is
pizza
the subtext.
Used to suck. We listened to you, and we made it better.
But
here's our better
pizza. They say in the ad that they're still working to get better. They admit it still sucks.
You got to look into the subtext of this commercial. It's like the worst ad
it's
campaign.
It's overt text. It's over text.
You know what?
Super text.
I'm always working on myself as a person. That doesn't mean that I suck right now the way I am.
So the hotspot is now brought to you by Pizza Hut, by the way.
Right.
Enjoy Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut. You can buy a...
Tasty pizza in your mouth.
I don't like Pizza Hut either.
Wait, go ahead. The big Italy. For $12, you'll get two
your
Pepsis.
Mouth.
It's still a better ad campaign than Domino's. Right. You got to admit that.
I will support any ad campaign that has a slogan where at the end they say in a really menacing voice,
in your mouth.
Wait, going back, did you just say that you don't know that I don't suck?
We don't have to go to the tape on that one. I'm not sure what was said.
You got a snickerdoodles for...
Okay, I made you cheesecake, for God's
he
sake. Do you remember?
Where are the chocolate chips, Kit Van Ord? Where are the chocolate chips?
Oh, man.
Topic.
You have to bleep that. I'm sorry. Don't miss that. I had I had a little swear there.
This is what happens when we get one extra weekend day.
Or no weekend at all in the case of Macrino. The last 7 of the last 8 days.
And aren't you a lucky American to be so employed?
3 of which were 15-hour days. I am ready to quit my job and live in
a cardboard box.
Go
in that river that you're crying us?
Yes.
Nice.
You know what's great is your facial hair also says you've worked.
I know. I look like a regular
7 of those days.
I've got shorts and flip-flops on and it's like 50 degrees outside. It's just not been a good past few days.
Magrino's 2 steps from crazy gibbering homeless man.
Glad to have you on the podcast,
Thanks,
Tom.
Man. I appreciate it.
Chris Waters, you seem clean-shaven and sane.
I am both.
Let's have you talk for a while.
Okay, sign me up.
You're reviewing Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions, right?
That is accurate.
Okay, so Activision, Treyarch developed?
Beenox.
Those are the developers, Beenox. I think. Beenox okay. is yeah. the developers.
Where you play as 4 different incarnations of Spider-Man in one story.
I believe it's 4 different Spider's Men.
Ah!
Spider's Men.
It's like passers-by.
Exactly.
Assemblies Men.
You got your
I don't think I did that right.
Assemblies Men?
That was not what I was looking for.
So that's the double plural anyway. You can't even have it that way.
Okay.
Assemblies Men.
Rein it in.
There goes Magrino's mic.
There's 4 different Spider's Men in this game. They are technically referred to as Amazing, Ultimate, 2099, and Noir. To the layman, you might refer to them as Regular, Future, Black Suit, and 1920s Steampunk Spider-Man. That's not actually steampunk, but he has kind of these goggles. Anyways, so there's 4 distinct universes that you play in, though Noir is really the only one that plays radically different than the others. Because it's sort of it's pretty much a Batman Arkham Asylum style game. Like that Spider-Man is pretty weak, doesn't punch his way through dudes who have guns, doesn't take bullets very well. You got to sneak through the shadows and do takedowns, which can be kind of fun.
I like the idea of the other Spider-Man taking Spider's Man, taking bullets well.
They're fine.
They've got lots of practice.
Seriously, with Amazing, you just hold down the left trigger, which is your evade. And he'll do that just like a passive bullet dodging matrix dance if someone is shooting at you. So, you know, the Noir, it's stealthy. You sneak around. You have limited sort of web slinging powers. Like when you're in Amazing, you can swing and you can zip. But Tom's giving me the shrug here because he's looking at a picture of Amazing Spider-Man wielding a hammer made of web.
It's huge.
It's 5 times the size of him.
Like, he needs to drink some, like, Gatorade after that, right? Like, that's got to be exhausting.
The fluid is not from him.
What?
For Ultimate Spider-Man, I guess it is.
Is this Ultimate Spider-Man?
That is Amazing Spider-Man.
So, Amazing Spider-Man, where does his web strength come from? His web...
He has these little web cartridges around
him. Ow!
He's a scientist.
He used, like, all of them with that thing, though. It's huge.
He used a mega cartridge for
that. It's really weird. It's like a Green Lantern thing.
So
with webs.
So Amazing, like, you do serious brawling. You swing your, you know, webs around and you're using them to whip people in the face and making hammers out of them and all this stuff. Ultimate, the black-suited Spider-Man, is similar in that regard, except instead of making hammers, he just has those sort of, like, icky tentacles that he whips around. And then 2099, Future Spider-Man, just sort of zips around and does all sorts of ninja kicks. Not that the others don't do ninja kicks, but, you know.
He's particularly heavy on the ninja kicks.
Yeah, he's kind of a ninja kick heavy.
Is it still Peter Parker at that point?
No, actually.
It's Peter Parker 2099.
No, it's...
Everyone has their real legal name updated to the year that it...
I think it is actually a different dude. Oh. I'm not huge up on Spider-Man canon or diversions from it, but in the game it describes, you know, they have bios for all the characters, and I'm pretty sure that 2099 is a dude named, like, Marvin.
Wesley.
Ramirez.
Yeah, okay.
I don't actually know.
Would it be Peter's Parker?
Miguel O'Hara. I'm seeing on the Wikipedia Tom McShay.
Literally Miguel O'Hara?
That's his real name?
That's the alter ego. Look, right there. Shabam.
Wow. What is what was the other ones?
They're like, we need a Latino influence in comics.
It's a traditional Spirish name.
Spirish.
Spanish Irish.
Right.
Not Spider Irish.
I was
Because that's what I thought you were
doing. Yeah, I'm like,
Spidrish? No.
So yeah, you hop into, you know, each level is, it's set in one of these realms, and you go in there and you beat up hell of dudes and you swing on your web, and it's pretty fun. And the game looks really sharp. Like, all the different aesthetics are really cool. And it's just very vibrant and great looking game.
So you've reviewed, like, Web of Shadows?
No.
Did you handle for us?
I did not review that
game. Have you reviewed any Spider-Man titles for us?
No.
Wow.
I don't think I have.
I'm way off there.
Yeah. Carolyn did the last one. I did play through Web of Shadows, though, all the way through. 800 achievement points.
Yeah, I played Maximum Carnage.
I played Spider-Man 3, which was as bad as the movie. Actually, worse.
All you people who aren't that. Chris, can you compare this game to those games that you did play? No?
I haven't played this game.
Oh, wow. Thanks for the help.
Yeah.
Jerks.
So the game is pretty darn fun. I mean, there's, you know, most of the time, except in Noir, you feel like you're powerful Spider-Man jumping around, kicking the crap out of dudes, and, you know, using you upgrade your powers, and there are all these, like, in-level, like, basically achievements or tasks that you accomplish to unlock more spider essence, which you use to buy upgrades and stuff like that. So it just gives you, like, cool tasks to try to do, challenges to beat, and you can track them on screen, which is nice.
Is any of it even vaguely open world?
Yeah, well, some of the levels, I mean, within a level, it's, you know, I just finished one where you're on an oil platform, and it's a large oil platform, and you can swing all around it, and there you have different objectives around. And, you know, I'm in a noir level it's a big carnival level, and I have to, like, rescue the three civilians and then move on to another area that'll be probably pretty bulky.
Okay.
So it is, you know, there are definitely, they give you large spaces from time to time with which to swing around.
And then events that you trigger here and there within the spaces.
Yeah, progress you through to the next space. So, you know, ultimately it's a pretty linear game, but there's room to, like, do plenty of web swinging, which is fun, or web zipping and all other sorts of incarnations of web thingies you can do.
I feel like I'd miss the joy of movement and the freedom of it, though. Like, in Web of Shadows, you had an entire city that you could just zoom around in, like, freely, and, like, the movement felt so good that it's like, oh, this is good. This
I still
is fun.
Put the Spider-Man 2 movie game as, like, my high point for Spider-Man video games.
I think I played the 2, and it was the same kind of open world kind of swinging around, right?
Yep.
You can only have, I mean, there's been like 5 or 6 open world Spider-Man games. Like, it's okay that they could try something different, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
Just say they should try one open world Batman game, because I want to play that. And I want to drive the Batmobile around. And
they tried one.
Did they? With what?
Pandemic. Wasn't there supposed to be an open
that
world
didn't,
one?
That didn't come out.
They
I'm talking
tried.
About, I wanted it to come out. Well, there's a reason they don't exist anymore.
They still exist. How dare you?
There's just a new Mercenaries game coming
an office.
Out.
I did like their last game a lot, actually. Their Saboteur.
Yeah.
Which could have just been Batman in the 40s.
Didn't you give that game like a 6.5 or something?
Maybe like a 7 or 7.5.
Oh, okay.
It was good. Don't quiz me on my old scores. I can't remember them anymore.
I remember. You always have me.
Okay. So that's one game down. We got a ton to go. Kevin,
yes.
As much as I might regret this, Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep is
on. Come on.
Here it comes.
It's not
here
even worth talking about.
But you know what? What's great about this is y'all, I sit in this place and y'all give me a hard time for saying that this is a good game.
Uh-huh.
You know what? You know, everybody that's a Kingdom Hearts fan thinks that I'm some kind of Kingdom Hearts hater.
Really?
Because I gave it some paltry 7.5 rather than an 11 point awesome.
I tried to talk you down to a 2, but you wouldn't
I wouldn't
have
listen,
it.
No. It's good. Like, I don't...
Yeah.
Like,
Did you just... Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
There you go. Let's move on to something that's
all
not
right.
Kingdom Hearts.
Hey! I'm back.
It's horrible.
You're mean to me.
It's a Kingdom Hearts tradition.
Yeah.
I mean,
after you
is.
Post this review, I'll just go in and correct it. Does that sound good? Can we do that?
Yeah, it's fine.
Don't.
I think it was posted on Friday, but sure.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, it's already up.
That Whoa, ship has sailed.
It's not too late.
It's good.
After the fact, this
right,
game is
after
terrible.
After the fact. This game
this
is
game was terrible.
So you're
also,
saying it's...
Also, why isn't Donald wearing pants?
I think that was just a non sequitur.
Yeah, it
I'm
was.
Going with that.
So you say the game's good, right, Kevin?
I'm afraid to talk now.
Yeah,
the game
I
is very the game is very
again,
good. It has a really great combat system. The really? Best.
Because that's some, not what I think of when I think of Kingdom
Hearts. It has some of the best combat that... Well, no. The first Kingdom Hearts didn't really have great combat. But, I mean, it got old. Kingdom Hearts 2 is actually not... was kind of worse because it was so easy. But this is a nice challenge. It's got great boss fights. I mean, the series does has always had really good boss fights. But it's got great boss fights. You know, my problem with it, my biggest problem with it is, well, two things, really. Number one is it doesn't fix any damn thing that's ever been wrong with the series. It just keeps going and going with the stupid platforming
and the kind of the rotten camera. Disney and crossover thing.
Yeah, right. Well,
there is that whole thing.
They didn't fix that yet?
No.
Come on.
Shut up. But and the other thing is it relies on repetition. The very structure of the game is that you kind of play through the story with three different characters to see three different kind of individual stories that
it's
merge.
Like Rashomon.
Yeah, Rashomon. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stitch is in it. So.
Okay.
It's also
so hard
Cinderella,
to...
right?
And that's yeah, well, why... it covers three old movies.
That's why I was almost driven to homicidal rage listening
oh my
to Bibbidi-Bobbidi-Boo.
That's the thing. The repetition in the game kind of gets to you. And that's the spot that it just the music started to kill me.
Do you know who's not doing a terrible Disney game? Junction Point. They have a good Disney game coming out.
Who's...
That, is this a transition that you're trying to
Warren
no,
Spector.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Tom, this
or,
is like one
I don't
of
know
your
what's
most
going on here.
I'm that? Sorry. This to,
Wait,
totally
Warren Spector?
My, yeah.
Junction Point Studios was bought by Disney Interactive, and they're making Epic Mickey.
I thought it was just Warren Spector in his garage. I'm not.
Oh, no.
I was really impressed for one man. That's a whole team? Nah, just kidding.
Sorry. Continue, Kevin. That just popped in my head.
You know, I
very much.
So as we're showing, there's like a good way to make Disney games right. And an awful, awful way.
Yeah.
And Kingdom Hearts is awful.
Epic Mickey looks so awesome.
I just want to make sure it's clear to all Kingdom Hearts fans listening that I love you and I'm on your side.
And
so
I only played the first one for like 4 hours, so that's where I'm
right.
But I think I can stand up to my opinions.
But this is
so clearly I'm well versed.
So this is why Tom McShay did not review Kingdom Hearts Birth Bites.
No.
In Epic Mickey, the opening sequence shows
man, don't be spoiling mad, it.
No, it's part of the opening sequence. It shows a mad scientist with a toilet pump toilet plunger.
Really?
It
That'll
is
never
dark
work.
As hell.
This game is gonna
that's
be awesome.
Sanitary.
It is gonna be awesome.
Yeah, this game is
it's
gonna be awesome.
So dark.
Junction Point, you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
So to recap, Epic Mickey should be awesome.
Right.
And we didn't talk about any other games at all. Sorry, Kevin.
Okay. Moving on, Tom McShay. Batman Brave and the Bold.
It looks really good. I guess is there like a cartoon that's called this?
I'm pretty sure there is.
So there's a cartoon's called this, and it's based on the cartoon, but it looks
You've
like a cartoon.
You've clearly done your research.
It looks sharp, yeah.
I played the game, and I judged the game based on its own merits.
Oh.
And by its merits, I judge it to be good-looking and funny. It's really funny. There's four episodes. It's always Batman, and you get a different sidekick. It's a side-scrolling beating up 2D. But the different sidekicks are all awesome. Robin, who has a persecution complex. What's the other guy's name? Blue Beetle?
The Blue Beetle, yeah.
He just kind of questions everything that we take for granted, which is nice. Very
struck
funny.
Me as kind of a Spider-Man like
kind of
character.
Yeah, he's got those kind of jokes too. The one-liners.
Guy Gardner.
Guy Gardner's great because he's an idiot. He totally is the Green Lantern who is not worthy of the ring.
And Hawkman.
Hawkman, he's kind of the dud of the four because he's just an old dude and he's always like back in my day and he calls Batman like kid or pal or something like really. You know.
Something condescending.
Something really loosey-goosey. Everyone calls Batman Bats in this. That seems offensive to me. Because that's what Joker calls him. And it's not an endearing term. But the gameplay, it's pretty simple beat-em-up. But it's fun because there's a lot of platforming and different enemies mixed in. So you're not always doing the same thing. But yeah, it's like a fun, enjoyable, cute little beat-em-up.
Frustration-free.
Very easy. I'm not really sure how you lose.
And it's got, Calendar Man? Clock Man?
Oh my god, it's got, yeah, I mean, Justin and I were playing it. We're not really well-versed in the DC universe, so we were trying to guess all the names of these characters before they said them. There's someone named, like, Gentleman Ghost is one of your enemies,
Sorry,
and
that's
he just,
funny.
He totally looks like Gentleman Ghost. Like, all of the things are just like, what do you see? Let's call him that. It's pretty
great.
He's
got a monocle and a top hat and, like, a nice tailored coat.
And he's kind of transparent.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, he's a Gentleman, oh my god, DC has the worst character names, it's hilarious.
Yeah. Batman's the only one with good villains, too. Everyone else is just an evil version of the hero.
Yeah, they're making Pretty fun bad. Of the monkey who wears, what is that guy's name, Gron or something?
Gorilla Grood.
Grood, they're making fun of him a lot, because he's pretty dumb. He's just a gorilla. But yeah, that game's fun.
Have you played the DS version at all?
Not yet. I think it's smaller.
Back to Kevin.
Uh-huh.
Elemental War of Magic.
Oh, yeah, that game.
That game.
That's a game.
So this is a PC turn-based strategy from Stardock.
Yes, yes, it is.
The makers of Galactic Civilization II and Demigod.
Yeah, well, no, they didn't make Demigod, but they supported the. They published it and gave the infrastructure, like the online infrastructure,
and said it was okay to ship.
Yes, that they did.
When maybe it was.
Well, they're in a tough position, because Elemental.
They don't want to make a good game.
Elemental was shipped so busted and broken, and I'm not just talking about the technical aspects, because that's busted and broken by far. But it's not just the superficial stuff, but like the gameplay itself has a lot of problems. I mean, I could have written a 5-page review on that game about everything that's wrong with it, and some of the things that are right with it.
So what's one of the things that's right with it?
One of the things that's right for it is that it's got the potential to be really great.
Is that it could be cool.
Well, no, it goes back to like the if you're an old-time PC gamer, you'll probably remember Master of Magic. So basically you take a hero, you start with a hero, and then you establish a kingdom, and then it's all like a, you know, big map. You go around it's not like with, you know, Disciples of Might and Magic or something like that, where you have like very specific pathways you go down, take your hero down, and you establish, you know, you've got nodes of resources, and so it's like it's a 4X game, you know, like Master of Orion and things like that, only on a, you know, ground-based fantasy world. So
that's what's right with it.
That's what's right with it is that, you know, at its very best, you still want to take that one next turn because you want to see your empire expand. But, I mean, the things that are wrong with it, I mean, the interface is broken. I mean, just trying to interact with the game can be a hassle. I mean, the game keeps crashing. In terms of the gameplay itself, the AI is broken. Because what'll happen is the game basically wins itself for you. You really don't have to do a whole lot to win because the AI is dumb. Sometimes, because the way it works is if your hero unit, your sovereign unit is destroyed, your game is over. And so enemy sovereigns will just come along with one or two units to protect them and like invade your city, which has walls and is protected by like 20 units that are garrisoned inside, and just win the game for you.
Oh.
You know, so a lot of stuff like that happens. The magic, this is a game that it's called War of Magic is the subtitle. The magic isn't very good. Like, it's kind of hard to just, like, you can just kind of rely on the same spells no matter what every time. And the magic looks really, really pathetic. Like, it's not fun to perform magic in a game if it doesn't look cool.
But it comes with a particle creator so you can make your own magic.
Well, that's what's really great is that, like, a game that was however many years in development, their art department couldn't do better than one dude who used the included particle creator to come up with much, much better spell effects a couple days after the game was out.
Wait, so some guy who bought the game, you're saying? The one dude?
Yeah, there's one dude who's already made a mod that improves a whole bunch of the spell effects and is working on a bunch of others. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing. So
I guess if the game isn't fun to play, you have to find something fun to do.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And the included tools are kind of cool.
It's true.
And Kevin swore a lot because he'd be like halfway through like a 5-hour mission and it would crash.
It got really frustrating because it would just crash over and over and over. It got to the point where I was afraid to end the turn because I didn't know if the game was going to crash or not. And then like a couple games, I got to the point where I could never end the turn because it would crash every time and I just had to start over. And, you know, the multiplayer is not turned on. And
the multiplayer's not turned on.
So yeah,
there is no multiplayer.
There is no multiplayer in a game that advertises multiplayer.
And the AI is not good. So if you're stuck playing single player,
then you're not going to get a challenge. Even if you turn it up, even if you turn up the challenge.
So is this the kind of thing where, like, you think in 6 months it could actually be something worth playing?
I think it'd be something worth playing. I think it's like I think it's a 7.075 kind of game. Put in a 2.0 kind of software package.
Wow.
So it's, you know, who knows?
So I mean, even if it's at its peak, you don't think, like, if it achieves its potential that you've seen, it still isn't like a must play.
I think that genre fans will find it a must play in 6 months. Anybody else? I don't think newcomers to the strategy games should ever even think of this game or give it a second.
Provided that it does get patched up and fixed.
Even then,
because I know Stardock is.
It's possible, but I mean, the game's so poorly documented. The in-game help. I mean, when it shipped, I mean, before the very first patch, there was no tutorial type anything. No, very few tool tips. Nothing to help you. You just kind of wander around aimlessly, figuring out how to do stuff. They did add some of that stuff in, but you know, if you're a newcomer, I mean, my favorite thing was you open up the in-game help thing, which is like it's called the Hirgum Minan. Chris and I never figured out how to pronounce it. But it says, there are four ways to win a game of Elemental, and then lists three. So it doesn't even tell you what the fourth way
is. You think there's just a typo? I mean, there's only three ways to win?
No, it's four. Definitely four.
The fourth way is grab bag. Just kind of figure it out.
So I just feel really bad because, I mean, Stardock's big on the whole Gamer's Bill of Rights thing that they wrote.
Gamer's Bill of Rights? What? I know what this is. I just want you to explain.
Yeah, well, the Gamer's Bill of Rights is basically a list of things that gamers should expect, PC gamers should expect from developers. And one of those things, of course, is your game should be finished when you buy it, essentially. And what's kind of interesting about that is the last two games published by Stardock have been
direct violation of their own
Bill of Rights.
Is one of them game should include features listed on package?
I bet you. You know, but I mean, and the thing is, I love
Stardock.
They
quietly amended the Bill of Rights.
Well, it would be interesting if
the fashion.
You know, it's kind of interesting because what we've seen is even a developer and publisher that believes so strongly in these things, real world issues get in the way. You know, so I think it's really, I don't know, like I think if you're going to hold to this Bill of Rights, that you've got to really make it work. Because this is two games in a row that have been essentially broken, and I hope that they return to their own ideals.
Okay, one last topic here we need to get to. PlayStation Move.
Was it
last week that we had our Now Playing?
That's true. That was our live marathon,
where you got to watch many of the GameSpot editors playing with the PlayStation Move and making fools of themselves.
Oh yeah.
I assume we have a highlights clip of that on the site right now.
There was definitely some foolishness drawing on Tom's face.
Oh, I
was
can't.
Was a highlight?
Yeah, that kind of angered me.
We need video reviews of every Move title and Kinect title that we cover.
Well, we have that so far. That's something.
So far, so good.
So yeah. So
well,
the Move,
they're not all so good.
Not a great start for the Move. The hardware's fine.
Mm-hmm.
The games are kind of. I mean, I reviewed Kung Fu Rider, which you know, it sounds funny and quirky. Like, oh, you're on an office chair, and you're racing down a track, and you got to avoid obstacles, and there's mafia people, and ooh, you can do karate. Like, it sounds kind of fun.
There's Ragdoll Kung... Sorry, not Ragdoll Kung Fu, just Ragdoll.
Ragdoll, yeah. Mm-hmm. When you get hit, you have the Ragdoll flopping around on the
Ragdoll ever.
It's not fun, though. Yeah. The game's not...
I got the farthest playing that game by just waggling.
Yeah, you were openly griefing it, and you were still doing really well.
I know, right?
Yeah, the controls don't work well. It's not fun getting knocked over. And then, like, you have to restart races if you knocked over four times, I think it is, it's like a racing structure. Like, you don't want to restart. You just want, like, the clock to, I don't know. It just wasn't a fun game.
Steering isn't particularly responsive.
No. That's, like, a pretty, and it uses all six buttons and gestures.
I know, right?
That's a lot of crap to handle. But the Sports Champion game is pretty good.
That's the one that comes in the $100 PlayStation Move starter bundle.
Yes, right? That is their Wii Sports competitor thing.
Competitor?
Analog,
it has
maybe.
Archery and bocce ball in it?
Yeah, well, it's got three good games. Archery, bocce ball, and disc golf. That's not bad.
The fighting...
It also has Gladiator Duel and...
Yeah, I didn't like that one.
What's the other one?
I didn't like Beach Volleyball or Gladiator beach at all. Volleyball. Ping Pong, I could understand how people could like it, but I stink at pinball, pink ball, ping pong. Mm-hmm. In all forms.
And you stink at bocce, I heard. Justin
no!
was telling me you're pretty bad at that.
We have footage of me beating him on the marathon. Live marathon with the pressure.
You guys have had like an epic bocce ball rivalry. And
He bought a real bocce ball set that arrived in the office today. So now we can...
I want to play.
Settle it for once.
Okay, it's on.
And all right. For all.
I used to play when I was a child.
So did I.
Where you guys going to go over to Yerba Buena and fire it up?
No, we're going to do it in the office.
Yeah, in the office.
Right well, behind
that's,
you.
That's
a really long corner.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, you're not invited to play.
Well, if a ball goes sailing by my head, I might just catch it.
Right.
Could be worse.
You
could
roll balls in the ground.
Yeah, I know. Not
Unless
all the time, though. Have
down.
You seen these guys play?
I haven't. Do they throw the balls?
Yeah. Chucking them in the air.
I'm not sure I want to play with you anymore.
Willy-nilly.
What else did you play at the during the marathon?
Start the party. What's the gimmicky phrase? Augmented reality, where you the play, what you see on screen is yourself and your surroundings. The PlayStation Eye camera, you know, captures that and puts that up on screen. And then you're holding the Move controller, but instead of the glowing LED ball, you see whatever implement the game has chosen to sort of stick on there. So if it's a game about painting, then it's a paintbrush. If it's a game about cutting a dude's hair, it's a razor.
This is the one that drew a crowd when you guys were capturing footage, right?
That's true.
Yeah. And then a little mini game with baby chickadees falling from the top of the screen and you had to hold a fan.
You have to use a fan to blow them into some baskets, but if you get the fan too close, you will just jib that chickadee.
The best thing about that footage is people would walk up, because we're playing a game, they're like, oh, what's going on? And it's like, hey, you're in the footage now. And then they have the thing where they like have the they look shocked and then sidle off to the side so they're off screen.
Yeah, you can see a pretty big slice of GameSpot's employees, but just by watching some of those gameplay footage,
it's pretty great.
Some of the reactions are pretty great too. It's like with Kung Fu Rider at the end of a run. Was it Kung Fu Rider where it would take your picture and then show you?
Yeah, I disabled that feature
as you played.
I was very sad in most of those.
So it was like Tom would finish a run, and then it would just show this picture of him looking profoundly sad.
That's like the sad cam for McShay the whole time he's playing.
It's weird they would have included that in the game, because they knew exactly what it was going to be, too.
Well, it works better in the party game.
That's true.
Because you guys actually were enjoying yourself.
The party game also encouraged you to take pictures of yourself and stuff like that, and it's fun and it's really easy to pick up. I think the we also tried to play TV Party or TV Studio
Superstars.
Oh my god.
Super extravagant.
That game has a lot of issues, it seems like.
That game
we only played the demos. So we've only played like three different games, but
right. We fired
not
up
as,
and then you,
not as immediately fun.
That one's kind of neat. Like you make your character, so you have to get your face right up next to the camera and then it takes a horrible picture of you.
Yeah, so you'll think you had a black eye.
Yeah, it looked like
black
I got
mouth.
It looked like I got drilled in the face with a bowling ball and had a bruise to reflect it. The first game we played, the games we played were kind of like those, those reality contest shows where you're running on a big wheel and if you fall into the goo, you lose or something like that. So that was basically just me running on a wheel by furiously pumping my right arm up
the
and
down. The
weirdest
thing
like
about that
running.
Game is it was like there's two tracks side by side, but you can only play one player and everyone else had to watch.
Maybe that's a demo thing.
Yeah,
maybe
a demo thing.
But yeah, that
could
was,
be
that
we
was
were
weird.
Trying it for the first time live and didn't click the right menu option thing.
No, I mean Justin and I had played it the day before.
Oh, okay.
We played all three of the included mini games. There's a dancing one that I should have just selected so you guys would have had it on that one.
Oh,
yeah,
gosh,
that was
I'm
tough.
So glad you didn't.
Yeah,
select that
and the shoot.
The shoot, yeah, Ricardo demoed that one, which looks solid. It's good shoot 'em up. It's got a cool art style where like. The guys you shoot the whole gimmick is it's a movie set, and so you're shooting these cardboard cutouts, and you know you get a.
That's what I always see when I go to the movies.
It's true, cardboard cutouts of bad guys just sliding into the frame.
Oh, speaking of which, I saw Machete this weekend.
Oh yeah,
you like
that? Is a fine movie.
Really,
that is choice entertainment.
I'm not surprised.
People should know that you have awful taste in movies.
Let's
you like bad movies. So when you say something
is
good, it could be Chun-Li.
You guys often talk about going to see bad movies with excitement. You're like, so we're going to go see Legend of Chun-Li this weekend? Oh, obviously.
I am pumped for Devil, by the way.
What?
I am so excited.
Why would you even say that? We were just talking about a good movie, and you bring up that movie?
I think that everyone needs to see a movie that weekend and buy tickets to Devil, even if they sneak into a different thing, just because we have to support M. Night's craziness.
Oh, that's M. Night. I forgot.
Yes. The more
that makes it even better.
If he makes two movies a year, I'll be very happy.
Well, that's a must-see, man.
That's awesome. And it makes for a great elevator pitch.
Right. Because
you're like, five people are trapped in an elevator. Right. One of them is the devil.
This hasn't been done before,
this is my
by
floor.
The way. This is all unique and original. I wonder what the twist will be.
So who do you think the devil is? Because there's five of them. I think it's the dude.
I think it's the chick.
Yeah, it's the girl that gets bit.
No, it's not the chick.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Oh my god! I like how they're like actually arguing like they know.
I think
she's
it's
going
that.
To be
I think
the
it's
devil.
That other
women
guy.
Are always the devil, right?
Oh my god!
I want to say my reasoning is a little different. I say she's the devil because she's the one that turns the suspicions that man has about the fellow man on each other.
Right.
I'm going to say the devil turns out to be M. Night Shyamalan.
He comes in on like the 16th floor or something.
Right.
He's like, hi, and then the final... I'm M. Night Shyamalan. I'm the devil.
Remember how you guys like been getting messed with for this whole time?
Right. Yeah,
that's me. I did it to you.
So the shoot's a decent light gun.
Decent light gun shooter, looks
it
like.
Seems
shaping
to be.
Up to be, yes, based on the demo level we were
at. I must say, with Time Crisis Raising Storm.
Yeah, that's a thing.
On the
horizon. That game has like three Time Crisis games in it.
It's got two Time Crisis games and one unrelated pirate light gun game
there
that
go.
Was only released in Japan, as far
yes.
as I can tell. And that is the one that I am stoked for.
The pirate light gun game?
Yes.
You like shooting pirates?
We're only going to talk about one news story. Because Duke Nukem was a subset of PAX. New story that I want to talk about this week. Oddworld Stranger's Wrath coming to PlayStation 3.
That's
this
awesome
game
news.
Came out in January of 2005 on the original Xbox and was resoundingly ignored.
So good,
though. Critically acclaimed.
Yeah.
We gave that an 8.5.
It deserved it. This game was a third-person shooter. Kind of a Western themed, it's a mishmash of Western and Oddworld, if you've ever played those games.
Well, it's
and
like
it was...
a third-person platformer first-person shooter, because I think in order to actually shoot, you had to go into first-person view.
Yeah.
So it like basically toggle between those two views.
Yeah.
And it was hard.
It was
hard.
It
was just about the hardest
fun.
Console action game I've played since MDK2.
But you shot rodents.
Yeah, Live Ammo
was
their name for the system where you would get these chip punks. They're cute little things that would insult you constantly, and then you would just shoot them into the ground someplace, and then enemies would be like, oh, what's insulting me over there? And then it would go and look, and you'd get the drop on
And
them.
You'd stealth kill.
And there was all the enemies, there was like, you know, there was bounties for them, different, dead or alive. So you could just kill them, but you could also figure out a way to capture them alive and bring them in for more money.
By shooting spiders at them. To bind them in webbing. Yeah, and I liked that you hunted for your ammo. Like, that was a cool way to gather it, as opposed to just going to a crate and pulling
yes.
some ammo out of there. You'd go into, like, oh, I see all these little chipmunks running around. I'm going to catch me some of them and shoot them in my crossbow.
It was a really cool game. It didn't get its due originally, and I am excited to go back and check it out again when it hits PlayStation 3. I don't think
in HD.
Yeah. 720p visuals, PlayStation Move compatibility, which doesn't sound like something great to me, and remastered dialogue, which I didn't think would be a big deal, but I went back and read our review of it, and apparently like they specifically called out the low bitrate audio samples.
Yeah, pretty
in
junky.
The original. So yeah. that would be something awesome. Next Easter.
And there's other
really? You got to have some stones to re-release your game on Easter.
It's Easter time.
Well, let's assume
it's
not. It is
the second coming right. of our game, which has...
I see yeah. where you're going there. It was dead at the on retail shelves, but now
yes.
it has risen
it
again in downloadable
for EA
format.
Partner sins.
How? How far can we take this analogy? Let's find out.
I was also delighted
to... Sacrilicious.
I was delighted to be reminded that they're developing Oddworld games again, right?
That yeah. is a delight.
Well, Just Add Water, I'm not sure. They have multiple Oddworld projects planned, but I'm not sure if it's completely original Oddworld games yet.
Oh, I see.
They're working on something else.
Could be something
big.
Like this, yes.
Do you remember what it is, Just Add Water?
They did, what, Gravity Crash on the PlayStation Network?
No, they have something else in
development, that game was great.
I thought.
It actually was. Mm. I really liked that game.
Was it Just Add Water that did it?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
Good call. Rare bit of accuracy. Speaking of which, there were a lot of corrections from last week. The one I will go over right now, though, because we are running out of time, is Back to the Future 3 does have a hoverboard in it. I'm assuming it was McShay.
I don't know. I've only seen that movie once in its entirety.
Suggested that the reason the movie failed or is not all that well thought of now is because it had a distinct lack of hoverboards.
I think you said that, and then I countered saying it had horses. Like, that was anything good.
Oh, okay.
I think this
maybe
is what
I said it. Which is weird, because I just saw it a month ago, and I saw the hoverboard in the climactic scene.
Spoilers.
Really? Both of you?
It's a knee-jerk reaction at this point.
Okay, well, we got to vacate the studio. yeah, this show is just a mess.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
What do you expect, man? I didn't work yesterday.
And Tom didn't sleep last night.
I don't know where I am right now.
That's wonderful.
Next week's podcast could be great, though. We're talking about an awesome game. Hopefully.
Halo?
Oh, man. Got my fingers crossed.
I saw Halo at PAX. Game looks dope.
Nice.
I am so excited for that game now. Like, I like Halo 3. ODST, obviously,
but
is
you
balls.
like Reach.
But Reach, I would...
You gave it a card
I would consider,
and it checked yes.
I would consider taking Reach home to my mother and asking her if I could actually sleep with it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Wow.
Do you normally
it
ask
wait,
your mother?
Wait. That much to me.
That is an interesting way to treat the precious things
in
your
even,
life, Tom Magrino.
I might even go and say, hey, Mom, can I marry this game? And she'd be like, no, Tom, that's a video game.
Smart lady.
Yeah.
She's got a good head on
that
her shoulders.
That is a really disturbing piece.
I hope
of
she doesn't listen
life.
To today's podcast.
Oh, she never does.
We should leave.
Where is the ripcord?
Oh, my God.
I need to pull the ejector.
Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Can you take my name off of this?
I need to sleep.
I am Sean McGinnis.
Thank you, Sean McGinnis, for joining us. Panelist
sure.
number three.
I liked sitting next to Sophia Tong.
Thank you, Sophia Tong.
That was no problem to be here.
Thank you, Tom Magrino.
No problem.
You're responsible for this, so your name will be attached. Kevin Van Ord.
I'm good with my name going on this.
And I'll make it three. I am Brendan Sinclair. I'm not terribly proud of this one. Thank you once again. We'll see you next week on the Hotspot.
Hotspot out!
Mouth.